My name's Brian Englehart. We're going to talk about a trade from 1959, January 1959. My art department wanted these in color, even though there was some non-cooperation, but I love baseball cards. My mother threw mine away, so it gives me a chance, as I to quote Golem in Lord of the Rings, my precious, I get back. Anyway, notice in January 29th, or 30th, 1959, the Pirates and the Reds had a big trade. Smokey, Tiger, Kitten, and a pennant, allegedly, were traded for Frank Thomas, Whammy Douglas, John Powers, and Jim Pendleton, who we refer to as others. Every time you see an article about them, it's Frank Thomas and others. It's kind of like the beginning of Gilligan's Island, when before it, they would add the professor and Marianne. So Gilligan and the rest. Well, anyway, it was Frank Thomas and the rest. Anyway, so notice in 1959, when they got these baseball cards, Harvey Haddix and Don Hoke were already on the Pirates. Whammy Douglas was on the Reds. They switched him. They switched Frank Thomas. But why were Harvey Haddix and Don Hoke, who were good, still in Cincinnati cards? My art department said, put pictures of them as Pirates so people will have a sense of symmetry. So I did. There you go. So in the 50s, the Pirates and the Cincinnati Reds were in about the same place. In the early 50s, they were bad teams. The last Pirates team to be in a World Series was 1927. The Reds team was 1940. The last Pirates team after World War II to have a winning record was the 48 Pirates. The Reds had no winning records after World War II until 1956 and 57. 56, they had a team that hit 221 home runs. Bertie Tebbets was the manager. They had a rookie Frank Robinson. They were a bunch of blasting home run hitters. It captured the imagination of the fans. They had Ted Kluszewski, who cut his sleeves off just to bring you the... never mind. Anyway, you'll notice Ted Kluszewski's on the left. He got traded at the end of 1957 to the Pirates for Dee Fondi because he had a rumpus in the locker room in Cincinnati, hurt his back. He stopped hitting home runs. But Danny's next to Kluszewski in the 57 picture. The Pirates had losing records all through the 50s until 1958. They finished in second place. The Reds finished... they've won 91 games. They were in second place in 56. In 57, Bertie Tebbets, their manager, did well enough. As of July 4th, he got on the cover of Time magazine, which you see there in 57. Their general manager, Gabe Paul, is to the left of Bertie, shaking his hand, saying, "I'm with you through thick and thin, Bertie, as long as you win games." Joe Brown succeeded Branch Rickey as the general manager of the Pirates. That's him and Danny Murtaugh having plans of a long-distance plan, a long-distance future. 58, the Pirates did great. They tasted success. 56 and 57, the Reds had done great up to a point, and then they did lousy and finished less. And in 58, they did really bad. And so when they finally hit last place on August 14th, Bertie Tebbets was replaced by Jimmy Dykes. Jimmy Dykes did really well for the rest of the season. And why didn't he continue? Because the fans loved Jimmy Dykes. Because he would smoke in the locker room with a cigar and have pictures like you see there between Mayo Smith and Bertie Tebbets, that's lovable Jimmy Dykes. He wrote in his biography, "You Can't Steal First," what a great title, that he had said to Paul, "Gabe Paul, you didn't make any commitment to me," and Gabe Paul basically said, "Yeah, I know, it's too bad, but I did tell Mayo Smith he'd be hired." So that's Mayo Smith, who who the last day of the 58 season was hired, or the day after, to be manager of the Reds for the succeeding season. Notice Mayo's magic manager hat on that baseball card. No matter what team you manage, it automatically changes. One hat fits all. So it goes from Phillies to Reds to Detroit Tigers eventually. So, anyway, so we have a new team. Okay, the 58 Pirates, just to acquaint you, they were the nucleus of the team that would ultimately win the pennant. There was a difference with Klizuski, Frank Thomas, Hank Foyles. There's some reserves on the right. The left is, and the rest, the fellows that will be the extras, the Rosencrantz and Guldensterns of our drama today. Anyway, the 58 Reds had, again, notably they had a couple of ex-Pirates, Gus Bell, Jerry Lynch, Bob Perkey. They were a coming team. I just love to see these baseball cards. But you have an idea. George Crowe was at first base. He had replaced Klizuski. So, got to move along. The trade occurred, and it was big news. Front page news in Pittsburgh, morning paper, evening paper. The Cincinnati Inquirer had it almost front page news, but somehow they said the shipwreck was more important than to have the Frank Thomas thing. But that it was in the, you know, the sports section. Anyway, big news. I mean, Frank Thomas, why was it a headline? He had had the best season in his career in 1958. He had 35 home runs. He drove in 108 runs, except for one season. Dale Long had led the team in home runs 27 one year. But from 53 to 58, Frank Thomas had led the team in home runs. He was the man. Well, the man had fallen off in his production somewhat, and the Pirates were ambitious and thought they could move up. So, what did we do? They traded them. The reception of the press in both cities was very positive about the trade. In Cincinnati, they said, well, Gabe Pauls, Lee Smith of the Cincinnati Inquirer, basically said, Gabe Paul is a pattern trader. He does things methodologically, he didn't use that word, but he says he does things to make the fans happy. And he wanted to get back to the 56 mold of team where people hit lots of home runs, replacing Klizuski's home runs that didn't exist with Thomas's home runs. And he said, oh, by the way, Frank Thomas should be happy that Crosley Field is 328 feet in left field and 387 feet in center field, where cavernous Forbes Field was 365 in left and 457 in center. So, Chester Smith of the Post-Gazette liked the trade. He said, we have three starters that are stepping in. Hoke doesn't have Thomas's power, but he'll field better. If Harvey Haddix gives us 10 games as victories, still justify himself. And we got ourselves a left-handed batter, catcher, that will be more power than Hank Foyles. The Reds had Ed Bailey, who had been an all-star quite a lot, and so Smokey Burgess was the Reds' second-string catcher. Anyway, and we've got to quote Al Abrams. I can't go on without saying, reason to believe the old vets, because Thomas was 29, but everybody else, Haddix was 33, Burgess was 32, and Hoke was 31, but they were old, in baseball terminology. The vets have a couple years in their system. Let's think that we can get something out of them. So, all right. So we have the front page news and the comment. What's the big news was what Frank Thomas's wife thought. That's what Frank, I mean, that was all over the place. Dolores Thomas, both in Cincinnati, in Pittsburgh. I'm in the Sporting News. In the front page were articles about Frank Thomas's wife's reaction. She ultimately would give him 8 lovely children. They were married 60 years, and she must have been a nice lady. Anyway, so there you go. Her reaction was, well, if it makes Frank happy and it's good for the team that he's going to, we're good with that. Frank was incidentally in Germany when this happened. He was doing a European baseball tour, and he said, I'm shocked, but I'm happy to go to the Crosley Field where I can hit more home runs. Oh, one other thing he said, not to the press, but he said to Gabe Paul, Gabe, my hand really hurts. I can't hold stuff. And Gabe said, sorry, it's cool. Or whatever Gabe Paul said. Anyway, but it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to negate the trade and look silly. He just said, you'll be fine, rub some dirt on it. Anyhow, it turns out that Frank had little nodule on his nerves. He had little benign tumors, but tumors that made his hand hurt every time he held the bat. And that was not a good thing. Okay, let's talk about these guys a little bit, a little profile. Frank Thomas, I said, he led Pirates at home run for all the years, so he was the man. Whammy Douglas had one eye. When he was young, he had an accident in the garage and lost his eye. Very courageous. He won 27 games for a minor league team in 1954. He was on the 57 Pirates for a brief time, and then he was not on the 58 Pirates at all. So as far as overall planning for the team, so what? Jim Pendleton was known as the governor. He was a very polite man, and he came up with the Braves in 53. As a rookie year, he hit .299. He did really well. Next year, he had a sophomore slump down to .241. I said, well, I'll work it out. Then they had this guy named Henry Aaron joins the team, and he also played left field. Oh, well. Jim, AAA for you, baby. Anyway, so the Pirates got him eventually. He was a utility player, played in sporadically in 58. John Powers was with the team the whole time in 58. Oh, my. Okay. So, he was no part. Smokey was known as Smokey because of where he came from, the Smoky Mountains, although his wife called him Forrest. Harvey Haddix was known as the Kitten. He was 5'8" because Dick Sisler, his manager, said, you're a lower version of Harry Brateen. Because the other Cardinal pitcher. Don Hoke was a feisty third baseman. His nickname Tiger would come from Bob Prince. So, let's go back. Well, we can't go back. Mayo Smith got fired. The Reds didn't win, and I don't know how to go back, so we'll just move on to this next thing. Frank Thomas hit .225 with 12 home runs and 47 RBIs for the 1959 Reds. That was not a good year. Mayo Smith was replaced by Fred Hutchinson through the season, and I find the backs of baseball cards are very, that there is truth that comes about through the people that write them trying to be as nice as they can be. Frank Thomas's card just outlined in 1960 good things that happened to Frank that year in 59. And you can't read it because you're, but anyway, bottom line, there's April, there's a good thing. He hit well in a game against the Braves. June, another good thing happens a month and a half later. August, 3-run homer, wins a game. Later August, September, and then December 5th, he's traded to the Cubs. So that was Frank's good year. Good stuff in 1959. So there's Frank on the Cubs. Says enough. Whammy Douglas, the one thing on Whammy's card. Oh, on Frank's card, the cartoon says, Frank hit 35 homers and 108 RBIs for Pittsburgh in 1958. And Gabe Paul was probably looking at this card going, I know. All right. Whammy Douglas, it says, Whammy isn't a great hitting pitcher, but he remembers one home run he hit last year. And the cartoon is, Whammy won a spring training game for the Reds in 1959. Now, that's trying to be as positive as they can. But the people that are positive, Jim Pendleton, it says, he was probably the best outfielder in the American Association last year. All right. And Johnny Powers, the person that's writing it, is getting tired. It's the end of the day, a long week. And he or she says, well, after several seasons with the Pirates where Johnny got no action, he hopes he sees more action with the Reds. Okay. All right. Next. Who's next? All right. 59, greatest game ever, Harvey Haddix. Interesting headline. In the morning, it was 2-0, but by the evening, it was 1-0. They scored it right. You guys are Sabre. I don't have to talk about that. You don't have to talk about the other remarkable thing of 1959 was Roy Face's immortal 18-1 game, or 18-1 season, which ended when the Dodgers won. Great article about that in the magazine that we all have in our bag. Incidentally, Don Hoke has a great, his player biography shows the complexity of him, and Jack Morse out here, and Morse put that together. Don Hoke was a complex fellow. He lied. Okay, so 1959, all this great stuff's happening with the perfect sort of game and the 18-1, but where's the pennant? Well, people did bad, and you can read the Dick wrote, dropped 50 points, two pitchers, George Witt, Kurt Rayon, they went from 17 wins to no wins, oh boy, and Bill Mazeroski got to hit like Bill Mazeroski. The guys from the trade hit very well, and there's a picture of Frank reminiscing about when he was on the Pirates and them reminiscing when they were on the Reds. Pirates didn't do so good. They were in fourth place. So, good news. Everybody hit again in 1960 like they were supposed to. The team war was awesome. The team war was 32. And what was interesting was 27% of the team war was Burgess and Hoke. Okay? So they had a real impact, wasn't the next year, but it was 2 years later, on the offense. Harvey Haddix, 0.8 war, but he, again, was a very stable number three pitcher, and so they were anchors that the team could build on. Next year, the Reds, happy ending. They win the pennant. Don Blasingame comes in a trade for Ed Bailey. They're pouring champagne. It's great. Pirates post trip 1961. Vernon Law, we call it now shutting down. He shuts down in July. Doesn't pitch for half a season. Roy Face loses. He Krypton finds Roy Face. He's 6-12. His arm is tired. Team home run average is up. Dick Groats back to being mortal again. Not a batting champ. He hit 325 and 1960, and people, that didn't matter to the output of the team, but $500,000 or 500,000 people less were in the stands. It did matter to the coffers of the team. But not everything was all gloomy in Pittsburgh. Jill Corey married Don Hoke, who had the best hitting average of his career. Anybody know any of Jill? She was a popular singer at the time. She was on the Dave Garraway show. Anybody know any Jill Corey hits? Love Me to Pieces, remember that one? Okay, Let It Be Me. Even after he was traded to the Phillies, Jill still loved him. Okay. It was also a good year. Roberto Clemente, who was known as Bob Clemente on the baseball card, I forgot to point that out, he wins the batting title. And there's Dick Groats saying, I used to have a batting title, but you, not anymore, not with my season. Anyway, so it was good. And postscripts. Frank Thomas goes from the Reds to the Cubs to the Braves. The Mets, he hits 30-some home runs in 1962. He goes to the Phillies. He becomes my favorite Philly for about 8 weeks when he almost wins the pennant in 64. He hits the slump. Then the thing with Dick Allen happens and everything else. Whammy Douglas ends back in the Pittsburgh system and then retires in 61, at the end of 61. Jim Pendleton retires at age 38 after he's with the Colt 45s for a year. Johnny Powers ends up back in the Pittsburgh system and retires. Smokey Burgess is sold by the Pirates in September of 64, after he's on the 64 All-Star team, but he was getting old. Harvey Haddix is going after the 63 season, and Don Hoke was traded to the Phillies for Pancho Herrera, what a name, and Ted Savage, who when he would go after a ball, his hat would always blow off his head. Anyway, and then he sadly died of a heart attack when he was 41. Okay, it was the best of trades and the worst of trades. We'll conclude it at that with our tale of two franchises. I can talk about bad trades. It really wasn't the worst trade the Reds ever made. Gabe Paul would say it was the worst trade I ever made, and he was probably right. Frank Robinson for Jack Balchin, Dick Simpson, who would make the Seattle Pilots, he would be historical, and Milt Pappas was a terrible trade, and Christy Mathewson for Amos Roussey. Amos Roussey didn't win any more games after he was traded to the Reds. Christy Mathewson won 350, something like that. Anyway, so that's that. I don't know. I'll leave it to a room full of Pirate fans to decide what their best trade was in history. The one where Wayne Simpson was traded for Bill Robinson. He killed the Phillies and the rest of the National League, and Wayne Simpson was cooked. And Bill Verdon for Bobby Del Greco, that was a steal as well. Anyway, I think I'm done, and questions and answers, I would love. Yes, sir.
You didn't mention when the Phillies traded, when the Phillies got Bill Robinson back for Dick Davis in 82, I think.
That's right, and Dick Davis brought all his drug stash with him. Yeah, he brought the powder too. So that's what that evened it out. Any other questions? Yes.
I commented on the Frank Thomas coverage, which I thought working in something about his wife was excellent. But was there any talk about that we're losing the local guy? Because, you know, Thomas was a Pittsburgh native, and I'll say one thing that I found was interesting in coverage of him when he came up, is the Post-Gazette said that Pirates called up Frank Thomas of 347 Wano. They actually put his home address in New York.
I got to say one thing.
Is there anything about that?
I had 20 minutes for this gig, okay?
Yes.
And then this son of a gun didn't work, okay? God bless you for helping me on that. But you're right, he's a local boy. That's the, I over, you know, he, yeah, and then he did really well. But the fans, the Mike Schmidt wasn't a local boy in Philly, but the fans in Philadelphia abused him like he was. And I do believe he was getting, Frank Thomas was, you know, if he didn't hit a home run, they'd say, oh, come on, Frank, you know, your mother, da-da-da-da-da. And so familiarity breeds contempt. It was time for him to move on. And it's sad about his hand. So, yeah, because he could have done really good in Crosley Field. But he didn't. Any other questions? Yes?
If I can ask, this will be key more or less on time, Rich. That was really well done, given we took time away from you. But if you get, if there's any more questions, you can talk to people.
Yeah, sure.
The next one. Thank you so much.